On the 12th dog of Christmas, a true friend gave to me Spawn DVD.
So, ho ho ho, it's the 12th and final climatic dub of Christmas.
Yes, so we've dodged the Mayan apocalypse.
No,
which have. Might not be a good thing based on...
It's true. Regular listeners may recall an exciting study arc began many episodes ago when silent member Little Philip Ayer sent us something. But we'll return to that because obviously this being the 12th and final Christmas special, we've talked about all these Christmas things, Christmas annuals and food and drink and all these things, Christmas episodes, specials of television shows. So obviously we've racked our brains hard.
And we've also, we've covered kind of the more materialistic aspects of Christmas, by way of occasionally some anecdotes and insights into, obviously, our personal life.
Yeah,
so we've
kind
of neglected the more spiritual side of Christmas.
It's true, and obviously, you know, you have to think, what could be more Christmassy than the thing that we thought of? Because I can't think of anything more Christmassy than this.
Oh, so...
So what is it, Andy?
Well, what we speak of, it's a film.
It's a film, and by now, Phil knows what it is.
Because hope he does.
And some eager-eyed listeners, or eagle-eared even,
yeah.
Because eagle-eyed is good, but it's not going to help you right now. Unlike the G.I. Joe guy, eagle-eyes, he was quite helpful. He had realistic hair, more realistic than your hair. But the point was that Phil sent us a DVD, which we have refused to watch. What is that DVD?
That DVD is Spawn, the director's cut.
Wow, that's Christmassy.
Well, in all fairness, it is a chap who goes to hell and comes back.
It's true.
So, getting in a bit of religion there. So we have, as I say, Spawn, the director's cut. That's right, not even the original theatrical cut, the director's cut.
Is he born in darkness and sworn to justice?
He is indeed.
Now, some context here.
So, Spawn, what the fuck are you guys talking about, basically? I hear some of you talking about. Well... in the halcyon days of 1990/1991, Todd McFarlane was the artist on Marvel's Amazing Spider-Man, then launched Spider-Man, the adjectiveless title, which was a smash hit, and he took on the reins of writer and artist on that, but was soon champing at the bit to do his own stuff and was not happy at the way that the creative people involved in producing Marvel Comics were not properly recognised and the suits that ran the company were getting lots of money.
Yes.
So he, along with several of Marvel's most influential artists, jumped ship and formed Image Comics.
Indeed.
I speak of Jim Lee, Rob Liefeld, Jim Valentino, Eric Larson, and Lyle Sportaccio, although he refused to become an Image partner, and of Mark Silvestri. So Todd McFarlane had designed Spawn years ago, but had always kept him back and had never used him for anything. So,
yes.
And... whatever your thoughts on the quality of the comic is, it was a smash hit success.
It's true, and still has its fans to this
yes,
day.
It is still going today. It's one of only two Image comics that are still actually continually being published, the other one being Eric Larson's Savage Dragon, although Eric gets more points for still actually producing and sort of writing and drawing the title, where Todd jumped ship to become writer-inker and then let others write and do it, and sort of periodically dips his toe back in.
So, Spawn the movie was made. Give me that. Give me that. I don't want it, but give it to me. Was a film that was made in this comic strip. So, I'll read the blurb on the back to you, just to give you an idea as to what it's actually about, because I've not told you. And some context. Now, it's a legendarily bad film. There was an animated series, Unconnected, which actually wasn't too bad.
Very atmospheric.
Very atmospheric. I don't care for the comic, but I saw some episodes of the cartoon and I actually quite enjoyed it. But there was a live-action theatrical film. Now, I didn't see it in the cinema, but I did rent it. That's right, rented it out.
Blockbuster?
Blockbuster. Blockbuster in part at Glasgow, week of release, because I'd seen the fuss about the film and the bad reviews and thought, how bad can it be? Back in the day, we used to rent these things out called videocassettes.
Videos?
Videocassettes, that's right. I rented it out and I watched it with a couple of beers on a Friday night after work, and it was... probably one of the worst films I've ever seen. And I never wanted to watch it ever again until Phil sent me the DVD. Now, so this will be the second time I've seen it since then.
I think I've seen it about 3 or 4 times.
Right, so we'll see how the passage of time. Now, the back of the DVD has some quotes. "Dazzling, non-stop special effects," said the New York Post. Portland, or Oregonian, how do you pronounce that, says...
Oregonian.
That's the one. Thank you.
How can you not know that? A Transformers novel set there. Madrav.
Got a slick hole. "More fun and faster on its feet than Men in Black. But then, so is syphilis."
It's true, Men in Black was AIDS.
Although the third one, while not good, it is watchable. It's not good, but it's a pass an hour and a half, okay. I never watched the second one. Los Angeles Times says, "A comic book come to life," full stop. So, without the exclamation mark, that doesn't give me hope. New York Post, again, says dazzling non-stop special effects. That's right, they've got the quote on twice, just to make it super standout. The Telly Nauticals, or not, I don't know how you pronounce that. What does that say?
Telenauticas.
Very good.
I believe it's probably...
It says it's one of the greatest dark thrillers of our time. Lies.
Of our tea time, maybe.
New York Daily News says 4 stars, ... spectacular. And Fox TV says Spawn rules. And they've given rules on a capital R, for fuck's sake.
At least they haven't given it a Z at the end.
Grammar is important. Anyway, they also say it's ultimate thrill ride. So the blurb is... Spawn, the scarred warrior and fearless dark hero with the skills of an assassin, the weaponry of an extraterrestrial army, and the supernatural ability to transform himself into an extraordinary arsenal of shapes and textures. Here, Todd McFarlane's comic book hero is brought to the screen in the special edition, director's cut of the movie. What annoys me is they've got a comma in between special edition and director's. Strictly speaking, that shouldn't be there.
Yeah. So,
we're going to watch it now.
We are. So this is notable for being probably one of the first films that did threw a lot of CGI at the screen.
Yeah.
For a couple of scenes. Also, Martin Sheen's in it before he became the president.
It's true. And some other people. So
John Leguizamo, who has since gone on to become an actor.
This is true.
Before this, he was Luigi in the Super Mario Brothers movie,
which I haven't watched since I came out. I don't know, I actually have felt the urge recently because people on Twitter have talked about it, and I've actually, because we're coming up to the believe it or not, we're not that far away from the 20th anniversary of the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Spawn is played by Michael Jai White,
who has since gone on to be one of those guys that appears in bit parts and you just cheer. There's a certain presence. Yes. There's a certain presence. You go, yay!
Priest is an assassin played by the lovely Melinda Clark.
Right.
Lady Heather in the CSI series, and indeed. She's in the OC and some other stuff. Count Cogliostro, who's a supporting character, is played by Nicole Williamson, I think. The chap who played Merlin in Excalibur, basically. Yeah. I'm assuming there'll be other people in the film as well.
So, we're going to take a pause here, and we'll give you a musical interlude of some description.
Well, as it happens, I do have the soundtrack to the Spawn album, because it was basically... don't fucking judge me, it had Metallica on it.
I'm shaking my head at you.
And it has a couple of very good tunes on it.
Okay.
So you may get treated to one of those. I might
so,
not...
So we're going to watch it, we're going to break out some Cat or VOD, and we'll give you our thoughts on a reappraisal of Spawn the movie in but a few seconds for you, but an hour and a half for us.
That may or may not seem like an eternity.
And we're back. We have now experienced the experience. this spawn the director's cut. We've been aided in our journey via some regular Smirnoff Cat of Vod, and a quite splendid new variation recently on sale. The vanilla flavour. I always like to call it the ice cream float flavour. So this has helped us to roughly 95 minutes. Now, again in context, Spawn was a film that I recall not being very good back in the day. But sometimes...
the memory cheats.
The memory cheats, or, you know, you can... I mean, as you may have figured out from this podcast, we've learned over the years to have a high tolerance to shit. In fact, sometimes we enjoy watching shit.
And things can be reappraised a little bit later.
That's right, things can be reappraised. Things that weren't so good at the time, you watch them later and you think, that's not too bad. So we watched Bond, and we've come to a conclusion, which is that there is a decent tosh action film in there somewhere. However, it's smothered.
Now, the problem with the Spawn film is not the cheapness of the CGI, which is... not cheap, because I imagine it's very expensive at the time, but it's just 1997 computer graphics at the peak of their achievement compared to where we are now at 2012.
Whereas, since then, even sometimes the big budget films, I've become quite inured to there's some bad CG, or there's some CG that would have worked fine with practical effects. That actually didn't bother me the way it did back in the day.
The problem is, for those that aren't aware of the Spawn comic, because it actually is quite faithful to the original sort of Spawn storyline, which is Al Simmons is a CIA assassin for hire. He is betrayed by his boss. His boss Martin kills him. His boss kills him. But he loves his wife so much that he will do anything to see her again. And the bargain is that he will lead the armies of hell for the chance to see his wife again.
It's true.
However, the devil being the devil basically says, yep, you can see your wife again. Problem is, it's 5 years later, your face is really horribly burned, she's moved on, married your best friend, has kids.
Should we mention who voices the devil?
I'll
get you next time, Gadget.
Exactly.
Next time.
That's uncanny. That is exactly like the voice of the devil in Spawn.
We speak of Frank Welker, the man who has been involved in more films than... well, any other human alive, I think, really.
No, actually, the record for highest number of films still stands. Christopher Lee, with over 350 film appearances.
No, I meant money-making.
Oh, money-making, yeah. Yes, money-making, Frank Welker has appeared in...
But I think the Welker will trump him before the end.
I don't know, Christopher Lee's 90 and a half and he's still appearing in films.
But remember, Frank Welker also, while he might not appear, does random animal noises. He's probably done more than 300 films.
My favourite will always be Spock Screams from Star Trek 3.
Yes. Spock. But anyway, so he's betrayed by his boss. He comes back 5 years later and all this stuff, and he has to kind of reacclimatise to his life while the threat of you are destined to lead the armies of hell. So, it's a great concept. It actually is on paper.
It's a perfectly good tosh concept. And as I said, while I never enjoyed the comics and just didn't get into them, I thought they were poorly drawn and written, to be honest, but I did enjoy the cartoon series. So
Alan McElroy wrote it with one of the producers was Eric Radomski.
Yeah,
who was one of the co-producers of Batman the Animated Series along with Bruce Timm.
And it has a very actual similar feel to Batman Animated Series, both in look and style. It's actually genuinely worth checking out. As long as it's out of print on DVD, but you know, if you can find it, it's actually okay.
But
yes,
the problem is, if you're aware, is the one of the main antagonists that's introduced very early on in Spawn comics is the Violator, who appears in two guises. One is kind of like a fat, overweight children's entertainer style clown. The other is his big monstrous form.
Yes.
Now, the clown style appearance of him is repulsive, grotesque, and offensive, which is what it's meant to be.
It's
and if you
true.
Look at even in the original comic, it's exactly how it is. The problem is, it's played by John Leguizamo, who previously had been Luigi in the Super Mario Bros.
Film.
And he draws on these traits to make the character for his portrayal. The problem is, if you've got a repulsive-looking character, a repulsive-sounding character, a repulsive-appearing character, every time he's on screen, he kills the flow of this story because you're just so affronted at his fucking appearance. it needed someone that was, he was going for the Jack Nicholson style Batman thing, yes. Which is the villain is the real star of the show, because Michael Jai White is effectively the straight man to this routine,
and he's actually fine
and does a good solid sterling performance.
He does a good
pathos overwrought drama.
He does a good I'm a tosh actor in a tosh silly action film performance. He does it actually perfectly fine, which is proven by the fact that he actually went on afterwards to actually have a decent career doing action films, yes. And bit parts,
and he's right, yeah. For the role. But the problem is Leguizamo is repugnant to the point that you cannot be arsed with him being on screen at any point in time, and it kills every bit of energy that the film builds up. And it does do its best to try and rattle on, and there's a great passage where he's not involved and, yes. Spawns fucking shit up in an embassy
with the embassy guards
with the white belts, yeah. And epaulettes and shit.
There's a dirty bin and a dirty bin costume with a lovely ass
and push up cleavage. It's amazing,
and she's doing the dialogue and it's all good, and you're like, this is fine. But then the cloud comes on. In fact, I would liken the experience of Spawn, the director's cut live action movie, to be a bit like a certain type of Indian curry. Now let me explain. I like Indian curries, particularly creamy ones, not too much the hot ones. I know I'm from Glasgow, and everyone from Glasgow is like, that's having the really hot curry, I'm done. But no, I like some flavour in my curry. But here's the thing, an ingredient often used in curries is the mighty onion. Now, in small quantities, I don't mind the mighty onion, it adds a certain thing, it's used in Indian food a lot.
If you will.
Indeed.
How good is that? For the final dub of Christmas, I think that's the most cultured word that we've ever introduced.
I feel so proud right now.
I'm saluting myself right now.
He is actually, yes. But to conclude the point, a lot of onion goes a long way in Indian curries. I think we can all agree.
Yeah.
However, we've all had the disappointment of either a purchase from a shop, or even worse, an actual dining out experience in a restaurant where you order your curry and you get huge fuck off chunks of onion,
and it overpowers
the texture doesn't really work. It's awful, and that's what Spawn the movie is like. When it's Michael Jai White doing his shtick fighting evil
guards and guys, yeah. Like dual wielding Uzis, he dual wielding Uzis
barrel jumping backwards, that's fine. But then the cloud, aka over added onion, appears and he makes it spoiled.
He does make it sad, and the CG is dreadful, but we can appreciate that that's because we have now 15 years on.
Yeah, a
bit.
Yeah.
But it's comedy gold, because it does look like a video game.
Yeah, but I remember
back in the day, yeah, because
renting out the time and going, I've seen N64 games that look better.
But that's the problem with computer graphics at that point, which was the minute it's committed to the screen or there, it's already been superseded.
But remember, the computer graphics, you can still do them a certain skill in the work. For instance,
Beast Machines.
No, I've gone back even earlier. One of the first extensive uses of CGI in a motion picture film, theatrically, is actually Star Trek 2. Star Trek 2, the sequence of...
Tron beats it,
but in terms of using sequences, Star Trek 2 has the video of This Is How the Genesis Torpedo Works, which took them 6 months to do. And yes, you look at the CG and it's very dated, but it still works because it's constructed well. So you can do CG like every other technique. As much as we enjoy stop motion, for instance, it is dated, but the craft makes it work.
If it can be integrated correctly, it
also
works.
What makes CG work is the aforementioned Transformers Beast Wars series. It doesn't look good modernise. If you introduce it to someone who hasn't seen it before, you have to do a bit of an explanation of the context, but I would concede that what makes that work as an experience today is the sound, the foley. The sound gives it a weight that it doesn't have in visuals, and you can just about get by.
I think in terms of, for computer graphics, if you're going for realism, the problem is you will always be superseded by the latest engine, the latest graphics. Where computer-generated graphics works is if you can go for a stylized approach, which is why I think if you're going to look at CG animation now in this day and age, there are a couple of things I would recommend to look at, because they still do actually hold up. Whether you enjoy the stories or not is a different matter.
Yeah.
But I would say Reboot works, because it's basically, it is the first mainframe show that's trying to tell a story.
Yeah,
I and actually all three shows are mainframe, by the way, I should point out. Is the second is Beast Machines, because it goes for a distinctly stylized version of characters and rendition and colour palette.
Yeah.
And it works. And the third one is a show that Ralph's about to swear at me when I mention it, but it does actually work because it's stylized, is the mainframe Spider-Man series that was set after the first Spider-Man movie, because it is done to be a stylized approach. Now, so it isn't meant to look realistic.
Now, because it's Christmas time...
You're not going to swear?
I'm not going to swear, it's true. Because what we're talking about here is the craft of the CG, not the actual show. Now, the Spider-Man MTV show, I thought, was atrocious. But the actual look of it was actually fine. I didn't have a problem with the look of it. My problem was to do with other aspects of the show. But the look of it is fine. So there's that aspect to Spawn. It has the right running time for a Tosh action film. It's 95 minutes. The rule of action films is they should be between 90 and 100 minutes maximum.
Or 101. I do like 101.
101 is allowed. You cannot go beyond that. If you go beyond that, then you have to have an actual
story.
And it then becomes a story film with action scenes, which is different
from an action film. With story elements.
So that's Spawn. There's not much more to say, because obviously Christmas, other than the fact that Andy has a point to make as to why we chose this as the 12th dub, the special Christmas edition.
Purely just because, we're godless heathens.
There was the Circles of Hell.
There was, however, there was a numerical error.
Yes.
On my
Andy
part.
Thought there were 12 Circles of Hell. He thought that because Spawn goes to hell, and because we didn't anticipate it being a good experience, that it would fit. Unfortunately, it turns out there were 9.
I would like to point out that I was just trying to introduce that into the podcast narrative. Who decided that this was going to be our Christmas selection?
I decided.
I believe you did, because I was struggling.
A half of full airs.
Purely because the silent member has been such an immense part of the podcast as the episodes have gone on, that it would be churlish of the two of us to sit and have a Christmas episode. And not involve him in some integral way.
So really, I've only really got 2 points to finish on. The first is a trivial point. The second is a serious point.
Okay, that's fine.
The trivial point, first of all, is if this is day 12 and you listen to day 11 and you have not as yet downloaded Christopher Lee.
That noise was me throwing down my CD or DVD case in disgust at somebody who hasn't bought day 11. Christopher Lee, heavy metal, little drummer boy. Pa-ra-pa-pom-pom. And you haven't spent the £1.50 or even the slightly cheaper on Amazon's MP3 store to buy it.
What Andy is ranting about, because I had not finished my sentence.
Sorry.
As he has, of course, references the EP by Christopher Lee, 90 and a half year old, of
Heavy Metal Christmas.
Available on iTunes or the Amazon download, where he features perhaps the greatest version of Little Drummer Boy in Silent Night I have ever heard. And in fact, I've been playing it a constant loop in the last week. It's not just, it's Christopher Lee. There are actually quite entertaining renditions of the songs, plus that. So again, if you've not listened to Day 11, or if you're a heathen, or if it's coming up to Christmas Day and someone's given you some perhaps iTunes vouchers, which are the gift that you can be
or an Amazon gift certificate,
or even some money, please go and buy it, because it's very good. And also, my serious point is that Christmas is a time for love.
That's it. Stop looking at me right now.
That's all I've got to say.
My eyes, as Ralph said that, my eyes widened like they've never done before. But yet, curiously, at the same time, my sphincter contracted tighter than it's ever been before.
My Christmas Day will be spent, or will have been spent, depending on how you listen to this, working and helping people.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right.
Andy's Christmas Day will have been spent on debauched Christmas list of some kind.
No, I have a standing invite from some very good friends of mine who I'll be spending time with them, as they have invited me to go down and see them and their family, which are
indeed
kind of my surrogate family
indeed,
these days. Because for those that know me, know of the contempt I hold the vast majority of my family members in, except for a couple of uncles, my dad and my gran.
So on a rare moment of,
this is, shall we say, the 12th Doctor seen me bare my soul over a couple of moments,
possibly a small amount of emotion. We'd just like to thank all of you for listening to this podcast for almost 2 years now.
Yep.
And we will see you in the new year for a regular edition, which we've already recorded.
Yeah,
as we battle towards a Marvel-like renumbering, because we are...
Shut away!
That's something to be revealed, listeners.
Nobody remember that. So,
as always, you can find me on Twitter at StarDubbing. You can find Andy at...
Andrew D. Turnbull. And you can, if you have comments, suggestions about the podcast, or if you have things that you think you'd like to hear us talk about because it probably torment us, as certain people do, you can hit us up either of those places or fullmetalhero.com. I do. There is a startup section in the Nerdsphere forum. Also the Transmaster UK forum at tmukhub.provost.com. I'm on Facebook for a wee while longer. Ralph isn't, but I'll be deserting it at some point soon because it's a tedious site. And so what I'd just like to say is thanks very much for bearing with us for the 12 days.
So we're leaving you now, and what you won't experience is we're going to put some joy back in our lives, because we're going to watch the Paul McGann Doctor Who television episode of joy, frankly. So imagine that we're having a good time just now. I hope you're having a good time now. Goodbye!
And thank you to the silent member for your gifts over the... Is this Christmas? We should thank him for that. It's a bit...
Hello, Phil. And hello to Nick Roche.
Yeah, hello to Nick Roche.
Goodbye again.
You're such a nightmare.